Hi again, everyone. Like I mentioned before, my name is Stephanie, and I'm a ministry intern here at Cornerstone. And in addition to interning here, I actually also intern as a mental health clinician at a psychiatric hospital here in Boston. And during the past few months, we've seen a continually growing number of people coming to receive mental health services during this time. And actually, the American Psychological Association has reported that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as recent events in our country, around 1 in 5 adults in America have reported worsening mental health compared to previous years. In particular, they're experiencing symptoms of anxiety and depression and intense stress. And I certainly see this growth in mental health concerns in my hospital and the clients that I see. And maybe you can relate as well. Personally, my mental health has definitely been greatly affected these days, but it's also something that's been an important part of my life. I live with and have managed an anxiety disorder and depressive disorder for most of my life. And to be transparent, when I became a Christian, integrating my faith and seeing my mental health through a biblical lens has been a significant challenge for me. For example, the word tells me to hope in God, but my body and my mind sometimes tell me that there is nothing to feel hopeful about. There have been days where thinking about the future gives me so much anxiety that it's hard to breathe, and sometimes my thoughts just feel like they're spinning, like they're in the washing machine or something. It can feel like our mental health is so separate from our spiritual health. What we think and what we feel isn't the same as what we believe. And we stand in the middle of two truths, what we feel and what we know. And sometimes it feels like we have to choose one or the other. And the right or the Christian answer is to abandon our experience for biblical truths we know that we should believe. For example, to acknowledge our struggling calls into question God's goodness. If God is good, then why am I so anxious? But to call to mind God's goodness seems to require the dismissal of what we feel. God is good, so I shouldn't be so depressed. But this isn't always helpful. When we dismiss either truth, it causes us to either evaluate God or evaluate ourselves. Either something is not right with God or something is not right with me. Have you ever had an experience where two opposing truths were present at the same time? For example, when you look at this picture, what do you see? And I'll give y'all a minute to look at it. Some of you may see two people looking at each other, and others of you may see a cup. And we can argue that it's one over the other, but there's a way of looking at this picture where it's both a cup and people at the same time. And in cases like these, we encounter something called a dialectic, meaning that two opposing things are true at the same time. In psychotherapy, dialectical thinking is the practice of holding two opposites at once, where as a result, a greater truth emerges. And so in the same way, we need a dialectical approach to our faith. We need to practice an and also kind of faith that balances both our experience and biblical truth together so that they can coexist. Because God doesn't give us truth in spite of our experience. And our experience doesn't qualify things about God. We're in the second sermon in our mental health series entitled Embodied Souls. And last week, Pastor Hojin preached on three truths about God: that he knows us, he is with us, and that he made us purposefully. And these truths are an invitation to live out in the open with regards to our mental and emotional health, both in good times and in bad. And today, I'll be focusing on how we can engage these truths in the midst of our more difficult emotions. We'll be looking at Romans 8 today, and if you have your Bibles, feel free to flip to Romans 8, otherwise it'll be on the screen. Well, we will be looking at the end of this chapter where Paul gives us an example of how to practice a dialectical faith that engages both suffering and also biblical truths based on who God is. So now here is God's word from Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul asks us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he takes the context of present suffering and he asks the question that he anticipates followers of Christ to ask. Can this separate us from God's love? Can the suffering that I'm experiencing now defeat me or tear me away from God? And in answering the questions, we see the Apostle Paul engage in two dialectics, and he gives us an example of how to balance our experience and God's truth. So the first dialectic we see is that we can experience real suffering and also know that God is with us. In the passage, the Apostle Paul is upfront about the fact that suffering is a reality in life, even the Christian one. And the types of hardship that he names here are very real things that he and other followers of Christ had experienced or they could anticipate experiencing at the time. And not only is suffering a reality in this passage, but I think we can all agree that suffering is a reality for us today, here now, and something that we can anticipate in the future. The statistics on mental health in the U.S. that I shared before affirms that stress, difficult circumstances, and emotional distress are realities in our daily lives. And these things have a significant impact on our mental health. According to a study, 46% of Americans will meet criteria for a mental health condition sometime in their life. That's nearly half. And these are including mental health conditions related to anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and trauma. It's very possible that a good number of us here at Cornerstone, or if not yourself, your family members or your friends, have experienced mental health challenges. And for those of you who have or are currently experiencing hardship in this way, I just want to take a moment to say that you're not alone and that there is nothing wrong with you for feeling the way that you do. Our mental health is so important for our flourishing, but sometimes our mental health suffers. And this is because we are imperfect humans in finite bodies living in an imperfect world, brushing up against other imperfect humans. So suffering emotionally and mentally is a deeply human experience that Scripture affirms as well. But even still, with all of that, when we're in the midst of our most anxious thoughts or deepest emotions, it can feel extremely isolating, can it? Like no person can reach us or understand us, and it can even feel like God is so far and distant. The word separate here in verse 35 is often used in the context of severing relationships, such as divorce. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is asking the church, who or what can divorce us from God or alienate us from him? And when we're struggling with aspects of our mental health, doesn't it sometimes feel like we're alienated from God? In these moments, we can start to define ourselves or define God by how we feel and what we think. we can determine that God doesn't love us or that he doesn't see us. Or we can think that if our suffering isn't what takes us away from God, then God chooses to separate himself from someone like us. And the Apostle Paul fully acknowledges the reality of suffering, and he's experienced it himself. But in it, he's also able to recognize without compromise that God has not left him alone, even if it feels like it. The experience of suffering doesn't separate us from God. And the reason why these things Paul mentions, or any kind of suffering that we may face today, can't separate us from God isn't because they're not real issues. They are. But it's because our relationship with God isn't contingent on them. Our relationship with God isn't contingent on our human experience. Catherine Green McCright is an Episcopalian priest who was diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder. And she wrote about her experience wrestling with her faith and her diagnosis in one of her books. And in it, she writes this. She writes, "In God's eyes, we are not defined by how we feel, by what we think, even by what we do. We are what God does with us." And what God does with us is to love us, to abide with us, to commune with us, even in our depths. We're not defined by our most difficult emotions or thoughts, but we're defined by the faithfulness of Christ. So what this means is that you're not your anxiety and you're not your depression. You are a child of God, loved and fought for to the grave and back by Christ. Going back to the passage, we look at verses 38 to 39, and it's more subtle in the English, but the key phrase comes at the end of these verses. The key phrase is, "in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love for us is demonstrated in its fullness in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord is the reality that we are worth much before God, worth even sending his Son to us. Jesus is proof that God is with us, even if we feel far from him or we feel like we don't deserve it. This verse lists the breadth of all creation, all that is under God. So if nothing under God can separate you in Christ, from him in Christ, then neither can your experience or how you feel. So the dialectic we see in this passage states that we can experience real suffering and also know that God is with us. And this dialectic is possible, and it only makes sense because of the gospel, because of Christ Jesus our Lord. We as Christians can be assured of God's love even in the midst of our mental health concerns and even in our most isolating moments. And we can accept our mental health as a reality and also accept that it doesn't define who we are. And when we hold these things to be true, it does a few things. First, it normalizes our experience. We can accept that it's normal to have anxiety. It's normal to have episodes of mania. It's normal to endure still our trauma, and it's normal to experience the lowest of lows. And we can do this because we know that our experience is valid, and also that it doesn't define everything about who we are. It doesn't change what's fundamental about us, which is that we are loved by God. And also, we can be assured that how we feel and what we think in the moment doesn't paint the whole picture of reality. And so we can approach our mental health dialectically, acknowledging both what is hard and also God's love for us in it. For some of us, we might not only find it difficult to acknowledge how we feel, but it can also be hard to know what exactly to do about it. We can feel helpless to our thoughts and our emotions sometimes, and we don't always know what to do. Suffering can produce a sense of helplessness in us where we can't see a way forward. And that brings me to the second dialectic, which is that we can experience helplessness and also trust that God is for us. So helplessness is a learned reaction to stressors in our lives and distressing emotions. And when it feels like negative situations are out of our control or we're not able to alleviate the pain we're experiencing, we can feel helpless. And as a result, we feel depressed and hopeless. With regards to our mental health especially, we can feel helpless because we don't know what to do, and it feels like the issue is so intangible and without a quick or practical solution. However, in the midst of our feelings of helplessness, we know that as Christians, we're supposed to be people of hope. We're supposed to be, like this passage states, in all things more than conquerors. And this verse is one that I actually see a lot in inspirational Instagram posts and tweets, in Etsy posters and iPhone wallpapers. It's a verse that maybe you all are familiar with, and maybe you've been encouraged by it in the past. But how is it that sometimes we can feel so helpless when we're supposed to be more than conquerors? It can feel like this statement is so incompatible with our experience, or that we're even doing something wrong because we're not feeling like the superhero triumphant victors like Scripture tells us that we should be. A few sermons ago, Pastor Hojin mentioned that there are several passages in Scripture that have been misused, and I believe that this is one of them. The Apostle Paul states, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And often we focus on one part of this verse, we are more than conquerors. And in doing so, we miss the nuance, the key prepositional phrase, through him who loved us. And this is important because the phrasing more than conquerors in the Greek isn't a noun, but it's a verb. And it can also be translated as, in all these things, we prevail completely. And how we prevail completely over our circumstances is through him who loved us, through Jesus who died and rose again, defeating sin and death on the cross. One commentator explains it this way: a Christian's confidence in the face of personal adversity, therefore, as well as one's ability to be a victor in the midst of opposition and oppression, is not based on one's own human skills or strategic actions, but rests entirely in the hands of the one who loved us. Our victory is completely dependent on his. And what this means is that we're allowed to feel overwhelmed and like we don't know what to do about our mental health. There are situations that are extremely difficult and feelings that are too overwhelming. And some of you have endured a lot in your lives and felt a lot of pain. And our feelings of helplessness are indicative of the fact that we're human and that we can only handle so much. We can acknowledge that we don't know what to do. And as Christians, we can do that and not despair, because we recognize that ultimately our lives are dependent not on what we can do, but what Christ has done for us already. Our mental health will not be managed by what we can muster up the strength to do about it. And when we say that God helps us in our weakness, it doesn't just mean in a spiritual sense, but in a physical and mental as well. We are embodied souls, like this sermon series states. And just like we trust in God for the growing of our faith, or we pray to God for our physical health and safety, we also need to trust in God for our mental health and over our emotions and our thoughts. God is for us in them, not like a cheerleader encouraging us from behind, but like frontline soldiers who have paved the way of victory in advance. The fact that we need help doesn't negate the fact that God is for you and he is with you. I mentioned earlier that I have an anxiety and depressive disorder, and there was a period of time in my life recently where my mental health was really poor. I was exhausted all the time, both physically and mentally. There would be some days where I literally stayed in bed all day, and I would sleep for hours. I wouldn't want to talk to anyone, but at the same time, I felt so lonely. I struggled with negative thoughts, telling myself that I was worthless, and that it would be better if I just didn't exist. And the smallest things, like a comment someone said, would just make me so angry, or a small mistake that I made would devastate me completely. And I felt so out of control of my emotions and my thoughts, but I struggled alone with them for a really long time. And when people asked how I was, I said I was okay, or I gave a general answer like I'm tired or that work is just stressful. And the reason for that was because I thought that I could figure it out and I'd eventually get better. I thought I was smart enough and I was getting all of my work done. I'm a seminarian, so I thought that I could just speak biblical truth to myself when I needed it. And I'm a counselor, so I figured I know what depression is. I can handle this. I thought I could handle how I was feeling, and if I tried hard enough, that I would overcome it. But I hit this wall where I wasn't getting better. I was actually getting a lot worse. And I fought my depression on my own with everything I had, but I wasn't victorious. And for a time, I despaired the fact that I wasn't a conqueror, because I felt like I was doing something wrong because I didn't feel hopeful, or I wasn't thriving like I should be as a Christian. And I felt so ashamed before God. And one day in this place of hopelessness and shame, I was reading through scripture and came across this passage in 2 Corinthians, which is another letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." It hit me that as much as I tried to convince myself otherwise, I couldn't go through this on my own. And I wasn't meant to. I was meant to rely on my God who raises the dead. It can be tempting to take what we feel and how well we're doing as evidence for or against the fact that God is for us or that we need him. But what helps us to acknowledge both the difficulty of our situation and also the power of God over them is Jesus. We were helpless in our sin, and there was nothing we could do about the situation we were in. But God didn't leave us alone to be overcome by it or be overcome by our circumstance, but he provided help for us, a sure and unshakable victory over sin and death and all its effects through Jesus Christ. And on the cross, we see God's love for us in full, an exclamation point that we are not alone and that he has overcome all things for us. And as a response, in our present sufferings, we remember our previous helpless state, and we remember how Christ has made a way for us then. And if he was for us then God is for us now. If we needed God then, we need God now. For me, I needed to remember that when I was helpless and when I was lost before he came to my rescue, to acknowledge my limitations, but also the limitlessness of what Christ had done. And let me tell you, I'm not a conqueror, but Christ is. And this doesn't mean that by searching out God's help, we'll suddenly be free of all of our negative thoughts, or that if you're struggling, it means you're not relying on God. That's not what that means. But what it does mean is that we have reason in our struggling to not give up, because God has never given up on us. What it means is that we can be humble before him and relieve any pressure to go through our struggles on our own. and it means that you can ask for help. And help will be made available to you through God and the community of faith that He has grafted you into. We can experience helplessness and also trust that God is for us and experience shades of His redemptive victory today, even in our depths. So we practice and also faith. And how we do that is by engaging both aspects of the truth with regards to what we feel and what we believe. We practice and also faith by doing these three things. So we first affirm our experience, we check the facts, and we act accordingly. So first we affirm our experience, meaning that we fully validate our feelings and regard our mental health as important. And we do that for others as well. We fully validate the experiences of others in our lives. And we do this with compassion and without judgment. Some of us respond to difficult emotions by denying them or telling ourselves that it's fine when it's not. It's not helpful to ignore how we feel or to minimize it. And though it doesn't feel good, I want to tell you that it's okay to have negative emotions and to think negative thoughts. It's normal. It means you're a human. Others of you need to be more gracious to those who are experiencing hardship and respond in gentler ways. They don't need to get over it or hear how it could be worse or how even your suffering is affecting you. First, listen and affirm their experience as important and their pain as valid. Be with them without agenda and without judgment. Second, we check the facts, meaning that we hold what we feel and think up to Scripture. And where they're different, we modify our thoughts to include biblical truth, the facts. For example, some of us view ourselves in a way that is so immeasurably far from the truth. You tell yourself that you're unlovable, that you're on your own, that no one cares for you. You tell yourself that you're worthless and that you're not trying hard enough and that things will never get better. But let me tell you, that's not at all what Scripture says about you. And if you have trouble discerning that, find what Scripture has to say and challenge your thoughts with them. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see things differently and to ask Him what He thinks of you. Another way to check the facts is by bringing others into our thoughts to offer a different perspective. Listen to your community, especially if you're someone who has a hard time finding or believing those truths yourself. And if you have someone in your life who is going through challenges with their mental health, you can support them by lovingly reflecting truth to them. For those who feel unlovable and alone, be the evidence to them that God cares for them through your care and love for them. For those who despair, be the one who reminds them of God's promises over them and His faithfulness to them in the past. And finally, we act according to our modified thoughts, even if it goes against how we feel in the moment. And for some of us, this looks like reaching out to others and sharing, even if you don't feel like it'll help or that you don't think people will care. For others, it'll be letting go of control and trusting God, even though you feel so uncertain and you feel so scared. Some of us need to do seemingly basic, but sometimes extremely difficult things, like practicing self-care, even if we feel like we don't have time for it, or getting out of bed and hanging out with friends, even if we want to isolate, or even eating healthier. Others of us need to seek professional help, even if it hurts our pride or it scares us. Because in these ways, when we practice these things, we move from acting based on how we feel to allowing the gospel to have present application to our lives through embodied acts of hope and surrender. So Cornerstone, let's practice an and also faith by affirming our experience, checking the facts, and acting accordingly. Let's live out our faith in a way that more fully captures our experience as emotional, spiritual, and physical beings, and also the truths of the one who created us. Let's grow to be a community also that reflects who God is to one another, especially in the midst of our most difficult emotions, thoughts, and experiences. And we're going to actually practice this in a moment through listening to the testimony of a sister here at our church. And I hope that her story is an encouragement to you and another example of how God is present and working in us always, even in our mental health. So will you pray with me first? Lord God, we praise you for the complex ways that you have created us that reflects the complexities of who you are. And Lord, as we navigate how to live in this life as physical, emotional, and mental beings, we need a lot of help. We ask for your help and your guidance, especially when our circumstances are so stressful, when our emotions are so overwhelming, and we feel so isolated with only our thoughts and our feelings to keep us company. And God, I want to pray over those who may be experiencing depths in their emotional health right now. Lord, would you be with them and minister to them? Would they feel completely today that they are not alone? Would you quiet their thoughts with your love, with reminders that you created them, that they are of immense worth, and that you have a plan for them? Would you bring those in our community to love them and remind them that they are part of this church body, important and valued? Lord, for us who are ministering to others in our lives who are struggling with mental health, would you give us compassion and judgment and patience to listen without judgment? Would you help us to be discerning of your truths so that we can speak them over those in our lives? Lord, we thank you that we can go through life with one another and with you always. So God, I just pray over each person who's listening. I pray over each soul who seeks to hear your voice. Would we all incline our ear and hear you today? So in all these things, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.